have three readings. The first is from Matthew 26, verses 31 to 39. Then carrying on Matthew 26, verses 45 to 58. Then thirdly and lastly, Matthew 26 again, verses 69 to 75. So the first from Matthew 26, reading from verse 31. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. 31. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Now we move on to verse 45, the second of the readings. So Matthew 26, verse 45. 45. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. Now the third reading, also from Matthew chapter 26, starts at verse 69. Peter disowns Jesus. Verse 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Tom. Stephen's now going to come and deliver our sermon to us.
Well, thank you to Tom, to Matthew, sorry, for leading. Thank you for Tom for bringing the reading alive, and especially thank you to Valerie for the prayers. So we've come to the third in a short series of sermons on Peter, and we've been looking at him and considering some of the main events in his life. We started 2 weeks ago with the way that Jesus called him. Just going to have to move the microphone, it's in my line of sight. And then last week we looked at the declaration as to who Jesus is. Peter said to Jesus, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we saw that that revelation came from God. It's not something we can work out ourselves. And Jesus then blessed Simon and gave him the name Peter, which means rock. So we now come this week to a series of events in Peter's life. So important that all four of the gospel writers mention it to us. These records are so important to us, not particularly because what they tell us about Peter the man, but what they tell us about God. These records tell us how God deals with us when we also make mistakes. You see, we've come to a low point in Peter's life, his denial of his Saviour. Peter, who seemed to be the best of Jesus' disciples, stood up three times and said he didn't know Jesus. And it's an amazing fact that we still read about Peter in the rest of the Bible. And I think it's an even more amazing fact that we read about it in Mark's Gospel. We read about this event. Why do I say that, you ask? Well, in AD 110, if you cast your minds back, a guy called Papias wrote down everything he knew about Mark's gospel. Papias called Mark Peter's interpreter, meaning that Mark explained what Peter was teaching. Mark was writing it down for a wider audience. And Papias said that Mark said that he'd written everything that Peter remembered of Jesus' words and works. So do you get the implication? This event, Peter's denial, Peter was still telling people about. Peter was telling about his failure, even though it puts him in a really bad light. Peter uses this incident to demonstrate in a real and practical way the way that God loves and forgives us. So, obviously worth us looking at today. We're following the account in Matthew's Gospel, and it's a long and eventful day for Peter. We didn't write read the start of the day, that would have been way too long for us. In Matthew 26 and verse 17, we read that on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? Peter would have woken up on that day with some expectation. It was the month of Nisan, which is the Jewish equivalent to our April, just about. Peter would have woken up, and his first thoughts would have been, probably, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Just like when you woke up on Christmas morning and thought, it's Christmas. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was a very special feast for the Jewish calendar. It's the first one. It extends over 7 days, where the first day, this day we're talking about, and the last day, were high Sabbaths, which is a term that means if it wasn't a Saturday, it's still considered a Sabbath and you don't have to work. So I think everyone was happy about that. And the first day starts with the Passover. As I'm sure you know, the Passover was ordained by God so the Jews would remember how God brought them out of Egypt in power and with miracles. So Peter wakes up with the other disciples and they ask Jesus where he wants to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus sends Peter and John to go and prepare a large upper room that's already furnished. Peter and John find about where this room is in a strange way. Rather than just Jesus just saying, oh, it's go through Sheep's Gate, turn left and it's down Dung Alley, he tells them, enter the city and follow a man carrying a water jar. So you can imagine that's a very strange sight in Jerusalem in those days. And that man will lead you to the house where the owner will provide the room. So Peter goes off with John and they find things exactly as Jesus has said and they spend the rest of the day preparing the Passover. So evening comes and we find Peter along with Jesus and the other 11 disciples reclining at the table to eat the Passover. You probably sat at a table to eat your Christmas lunch, but in the Middle East in those days, they reclined. And Jesus tells them during the feast that one of them will betray him. And each disciple says it won't be him. Perhaps Peter's a bit unsettled when he hears this, but it's more likely known what we know about Peter, that he was just strengthened in his resolve that it won't be him. It was very easy to imagine Peter declaring out loud for everyone to hear that even if all betray Jesus and leave him, he, Peter, will not. So Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples. He changes the meaning of the feast into what we now call the Lord's Supper. The bread in the feast now represents the body that he was given for us, and the wine now represents his blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. By this, Jesus was talking about his death on the cross, which he knew was coming up very soon. It's key for us to remember that Jesus only allowed this death for us. He knew it was the only way that we as sinful people could ever get right with God. It's only by accepting that Jesus died for you personally that you can obtain a right standing with God. When you accept Jesus personally, you are labeled as justified in God's sight. Your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. It really is just as if I'd never sinned. So the whole reason for the cross, the whole reason that Jesus gave his body for breaking and gave his blood for shedding was for us. Well, in the upper room, Jesus taught Peter and the other disciples many more things than Matthew records. John tells us in his gospel that Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And to start with, Peter doesn't want anything to do with this. Peter knows he's way inferior to Jesus and it would be wrong for the superior to wash the feet of the inferior. But when Jesus explains the reason for it, that unless Jesus washes him, he can have no part of Jesus, then Peter characteristically goes the whole way and asks Jesus not just to wash his feet, but to wash all of him. So we can see that for Peter, this is turning out to be a very special day. Jesus has instituted a new feast. Jesus has talked about betrayal